Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're going to go to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline and talk to our good friend, former Panther star and also Super Bowl ring wearer from the New Orleans Saints, Darnell Dickerson. Darnell, how are you doing tonight, sir? Thank you for joining me.
Paul, it's a pleasure to be on, man. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, of course. I mean, we should have been checking in with you a lot more than we have, but I'm glad we got you tonight. And you know, I was just talking before the break, and you can speak to this because you've been a coach. You know, obviously, you have played in, you know, a couple different organizations in the NFL. And I was talking about the Steelers and the Ravens, and one of the things that I think people miss is that they're both really good organizations. And when you have a good organization, you know, the success sort of follows in terms of, you know, if you look at those teams, they don't seem to have the lows for too long because the organizations are strong and they have a good philosophy and plan. I mean, how important is that, you know, to winning beyond obviously coaches and players are really important, but, you know, it seems like the names can change, but they can continue to win if they've got a good organization.
Absolutely. Paul, I would say that, you know, when you look at the foundation of the NFL, there are certain teams that every year will have good consistency. We're seeing the downfall of that with the Patriots this year if you don't start revamping your players fast enough. But you look at the Steelers and Ravens, you know, you look at New Orleans Saints, you know, you look at teams who, you know, keep the fabric of their team, you know, based upon who else is in their division that's doing really well. But when you have the Steelers who always win, you know, the GMs have to make sure they're recruiting the type of players or drafting type of players that can stop the Lamar Jacksons, you know. So there really is a great camaraderie that resides within the individual divisions. And when you look at the, you know, the AFC North, you know, it's always a strong division with Baltimore and with the Steelers usually leading, and then usually the Bengals are usually that third, you know, rated team. And I had the pleasure of playing with the Ravens and the Browns. And I could tell you just the mindset. If I compare it to family members, if the Steelers were the big brother, then when I played with the Ravens, it was like being that rowdy cousin who's just like you, but he can never kind of always win the big game. And then being with the Browns was kind of like being a baby brother where you kind of know that sometimes things are just not going to go your way when you play against your big brother. And that's how I can compare it. But it really is the intricacy and the foundation of those of these, you know, alignments with the conferences. So you'll have the AFC North that'll always be strong. The NFC South is really a strong division. As we can see, the NFC West is just kind of smoking every division right now with the Seahawks, the Cards, the Rams, and the 49ers. But the fabric of the Ravens and the Steelers really honed down to just back nose smash mouth football, and both of these organizations really build off of one another's success.
And you, we're talking with Darnell Dickerson. You played for the Saints and Sean Payton and everything. I would imagine that organization is run the right way because they seem to be, you know, at or near the top almost every single year since he's been there as well.
Well, what Sean Payton, you know, has done, you know, he's learned so much. He's gone from Jim Fossil when he was a quarterback coach when he was with the Giants, and then he was an offensive coordinator, you know, with the Cowboys, and then he went on to New Orleans, and him and Gruden are very good friends. So they put a lot of plays on the board. You know, he has a good camaraderie, and he understands this. Let me find the best guy in the room that the other guys on my team will look up to, and then I could build a team off of that guy. And he found that in Drew Brees. So Sean Payton has found a lot of success and can really – he's got a lot of interchangeable parts as he builds his own team. He gets a chance to see what the offense is going to be like, to see what the defense is going to be like, and he has to go up to those big-time teams. When we won the Super Bowl, our team that we had to face was the Carolina Panthers. We had to really find a way to make, you know, Julius Peppers obsolete. You know, you go to Tampa Bay, and they were still kind of rebuilding. So you really start looking at the teams that's within your division that you have to be able to get those two wins from to be able to represent your division in the playoffs. So Sean did a great job when we went through. Then we had to play against, you know, the Brett Favres. You know, we had to play against the Cardinals, and obviously we had to win a Super Bowl against, you know, Peyton Manning. But, you know, he does a great job of systematically putting players in place. He has it down to the percentage of plays that he's going to play a guy, so he understands exactly what he's going to get out of every man on that 53-man roster.
Yeah, and I think that's a big advantage when you've got that. Darnell, a position that, you know, obviously is close to your heart because you played it some. Actually, you played it, I think, your entire career as tight end, and it seems like the tight end position is really making a comeback. I know for a while there was a lot of this, you know, this is going to go the way of college where, you know, teams are just going to start spreading everybody else and all the other stuff. I don't know, man. And the Ravens are a great example of a team, but we're starting to see the tight end position sort of make a comeback, and not just make a comeback, but even, you know, become like the traditional, more old school tight ends.
Well, and I think that's because you create such mismatch problems, you know, and it was so crazy. I was talking with Coach Franklin this past week because my son Khalil, for those who don't know, Khalil Dinkins is now going to be going on to play for Penn State, and he's 6'5", 220, playing for North Allegheny. He's a hybrid-type player where you just, you know, split him out, and if you motion him up the backfield, if a cornerback goes out with him or bumps out, you know they're going to stay in zone. So now you have that size advantage where you can do that, the box out, you know, in basketball. And then if you go in motion and the linebacker goes out with you, now you got a speed mismatch if this guy can really run and is fast. So these new age tight ends, and you see the Ravens, you know, they have a great connection. You get great chemistry with his tight ends. You know, you look at a lot of these teams, they're creating mismatches across the middle of the field. And, you know Ebron and Ben is, you know, going, it's like, you know, Heath Miller again. So, you know, they find ways to sit down in zones and really, you know, create first downs. And that's really what you try to – you got to find a guy that can beat it in our intermediate route running about 10 yards so he can keep getting you first downs and be a quarterback safety valve. So when he's hitting the little small passes, then he can stretch it and go downfield with some of the more explosive receivers.
Yeah, I mean, it really is kind of interesting to see how it's sort of evolving now. You know, I keep hearing Darnell about the, you know, quarterback position now becoming a position where you have to be mobile. Maybe not Lamar Jackson mobile, but now, you know, the traditional drop back passer is becoming more and more extinct. Do you see that as a trend that's going to stick, or do you think that the pendulum at some point will swing back to the more traditional drop back passer?
Well, I think it's unique. You know, when I was coming out of Pitt, you know, I was one of the top 100 players coming out of high school from Shinley as a quarterback. You know, I could throw 75, 80 yards on a run. I could run. I was 6'5", 225 pounds coming out of high school, but they wanted more of the traditional drop back passer. But as I've been training and working with kids, it started with Ben DiNucci. I trained Ben DiNucci out of Tom Richland. He's getting ready to start for the Cowboys. I've trained Phil Jakovic. He's a hybrid. He came here to him, and he was in the backyard, you know, working out, and he's more of your dual threat quarterback who can run. He's 6'5", you know, really solidly put together, doing great for Boston College. Then I have a kid, Caden Olsen, who's a sophomore at Armstrong, and he's throwing for, you know, 350-plus yards. He's not fleet of foot. He's a slower-footed, you know, quarterback. So I think it's based upon who can get the ball to your athletes and how your team is geared. The Lamar Jacksons are going to be unique, and they can really extend the plays, and you have to account for it on it. It's hard to account for a running quarterback when a defense has only 11 guys. You're going to either put your other guy in coverage or you're going to have him scan your quarterback. And when that happens, you've seen what happened in the Arizona game, you know, against, you know, the Seahawks. You know, you really got to account for these running quarterbacks. But the caveat of that is if you get your quarterback hit, because now that he's running, he's going to be more susceptible to these big freak athletes running around, that you can, like Dak Prescott, once he goes down, it changes the whole dynamic of the way your team is set up. And the Cowboys are seeing what happens if you don't have the same type of quarterback to back up your runner. So I think it's kind of a uniqueness that teams want to go to a more of a running quarterback. But I think with injuries and I think with, you know, longevity, you still want to see that quarterback that can stand in the pocket, have a little bit of mobility, but more importantly, he's going to utilize his talents getting down the field. And I think Cam Newton, you're starting to see how easily that can regress if you don't stay on top of your game. And Cam Newton almost don't even look like himself anymore with the Patriots.
No, I mean, I think, you know, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. You mentioned Ben DiNucci. You know, big assignment. He's going to, you know, be the starting quarterback, at least for this week, of the Dallas Cowboys. You know, you worked a lot with him. Obviously, you know him very well. How do you think he'll handle this, and what are some of the strengths that he has as a quarterback?
I think the fact that Ben has seen and experienced failure has made him resilient. I mean, he went to Pitt. You know, he didn't have the most success. He transferred and found success. So he understands how no one sees him as the guy, so he has nothing to lose. He can go up there and play and make some throws and try to stick to the game plan, adhere to the play-action pass, and more importantly, try to get to the key third downs. You know, when you look at some of the teams that's leading the NFL, you got the Saints at 55%, Buffalo at 52%, the Steelers at 51% in third down conversions. And those are the things, when you can extend the play, that's all teams need. Us all teams need to be able to extend their offense. And when you can't get first downs, you are not on the field. So I think Ben DiNucci, understanding that, is going to go in there, and he's a systematic guy. He's mobile enough to avoid some pressure, and he's consistent enough to make the intermediate throws. They have some talented receivers down there, and they got a good running game. I would think that the Cowboys would go in trying to get Ezekiel, you know, into the game without him having to put the ball on the ground, try to really, you know, stay away from, you know, iffy plays that may cause turnovers, and try to really ball control the game into getting a victory.
Well, last one I have for you, Darnell, and we're talking with Darnell Dinkins, who does a number of different things in the community, and does a lot of training and a lot of motivational speaking, but he obviously is also played in the NFL. But do you feel like you mentioned Phil? It seems like it's a good landing place where he's at in Boston College. Does he have that kind of potential, do you think, that down the road could potentially be an NFL guy?
I think Phil will be in the NFL because, once again, I think that, you know, at some point you got to learn how to starve distractions and feed your focus. And one thing I talk to my sons about, you know, my daughter is an all-conference player down at Tulane. My son's an all-conference player at North Allegheny. My youngest son, 6'3", you know, cornerback. And what I teach them is that, you know, either when you go in a game, you should either win or learn, but you should never lose. And sometimes I watch a lot of youth football, and I got that from my son Khalil. He loved Michael Jordan. He got it from a statement. When you think about that, a lot of youth sports go into games and they get on kids when they make mistakes instead of teaching them. And I believe the way I coach, the way I help kids, whether it's Ben DiNucci, Hollis Mathis, Phil Dracovic, Cole Spencer, Caden Olsen, Khalil Dinkins, you know, it does not change in terms of, you know, what you do when you're on the field. And I think with Phil, you have one or two coaches. You have a lot of systematic guys who may have been GAs. They get into a lot of schemes and they learn the schematics, but not a lot of guys like myself have played and know the schematics. So you understand and can identify right where a kid is. So right in my backyard, we went through tensegrity, learning how to throw with zip, learning how to stop thinking about the throw and driving off your back foot and really identifying where your receivers are, so we don't got to think about his throwing mechanics. But just think, you know, all you are doing is throwing and catching. Regardless of how you throw it, the main thing is being confident enough to gain consistency, consistency so you can be confident in the game. You get create habits that create the routine, that creates a ritual. And with Phil Djokovic, it was really going back to the basics. He was able to get with the system that they now can identify with him and allow him to flourish. So I think not only will he be a top pick, but I think he'll do great things at Boston College. Chudzinski's a great coach up there. He was an offensive coordinator with the Cleveland Browns. They have Jeff Hapley, who's a great recruiter. They got Frank Tignetti, who with Mohamed Sanu got him over 100-something catches his senior year at Rutgers. They have Shimko, who was my GA when I was at Rutgers, and he does a lot of great things with tight ends. So I think Phil will have a great, revival. He has an extra year due to COVID, and now he can just learn underneath a lot of pro-type, coordinators that's going to only enhance his game. I think we'll see Phil Djokovic playing on Sundays.
Darnell, great stuff, man. Thank you so much, and hopefully we can do it again and get your son and your daughter on, and we can talk about a lot of fun stuff if we do that maybe next week.
Absolutely. Sounds good. To all the parents out there, I just say this. Just remind you, no matter how many sports you play, no matter what you do, make your kids understand that 4 years of high school and 4 years of college determines the next 40 years of their life. So don't get so caught up in the sports that they forget the education side, because it's very important right now. So thank you, Paul, for having me on.
All right. That's Darnell Dickerson, former Pitt player, former NFL player. We've got to get to a break. It's the Paul Zeiss Show on 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.